promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, President Mahama attributes Africa's woes to lies and deceit of his leaders. Majority leader in parliament worried over creeping monetization of Ghana politics. CDD pushes for measures to involve minority parties in decision-making. Short parade and wreath laying ceremony to climax this year's June 4 activities. A Nigerian parliament bans same-sex marriage. President John Mahama has observed that the oppression and damage done to Africa by the world, and in some instances by itself, is as a result of lies and deception. Africa's salvation, according to him, must come from truth, compassion and forgiveness, as well as refusal to be compromised. The president was delivering a lecture at the French Institute of International Relations in Paris, France, to climax a three-day state visit to that country. Pascaline Adadivo reports that the president had to pause intermittently to allow for applause from the audience, who were obviously impressed with the presentation.
President John Mahama was originally scheduled to deliver a paper on Africa, new opportunities, new policy directions, but the content of the thought-provoking lecture was on the impact that the practice of compassion and forgiveness in governance has had on the African continent. He stated that Africa has gone through oppression for several decades and seems to be finding its feet now. President Mahama posed the question as to what would have happened to democracy, policies and development if African leaders had decided to revenge for every atrocity or oppression suffered, quoting Mahatma Gandhi, a social and political activist and staunch advocate of non-violence and forgiveness. President Mahama said the oppressor does not voluntarily give freedom to the oppressed. People must be the change they wish to see in the world.
And I cannot think of a word any more appropriate than the word transformative to describe the ultimate recovery from events that have taken place in countries such as South Africa, Rwanda, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Burundi, and Cote d'Ivoire, where for lengthy periods of time, citizens suffered at the hands of their fellow citizens. The atrocities that have occurred in these places were acts from which people wondered whether the citizens of these nations could ever recover. It is important to consider the role of compassion in the healing of these people and these nations and their refusal to accept retribution. It is important to consider the function of forgiveness in their ability to unify and move forward, to attain stability, and in many cases in Africa today, to attain success.
President Mahama cited Nelson Mandela of South Africa as a clear case of an embodiment of forgiveness. He said when he was released from Robben Island, where he had been held for 18 of the 27 years he was in prison, people were confused as to whether vengeance was going to be his next line of action.
Of course, Africa's most famous example of compassion and forgiveness in governance and also a formal commission of truth and reconciliation is provided by South Africa and its move to end apartheid, giving the murders of Steve Biko, Albert Luthuli, and Solomon Mahlangu, could violence and vengeance not be the order of the day? And yet, Mandela stated in a speech on the day of his release, And he said, "Today the majority of South Africans, black and white, recognize that apartheid has no future. It has to be ended by our own decisive mass action in order to build peace and security. The mass campaign of defiance and other actions of our organization and people can only culminate in the establishment of a democratic society."
Coming up for mention was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who led to stop the system of racial discrimination of blacks in America. These are few of African leaders who use compassion and forgiveness as basis to develop their countries, and these are yielding positive results. Since 1974, 32 truth and reconciliation bodies have been established in the world, 10 of them in Africa, according to President Mahama. This is a proof that compassion and forgiveness have a place on the African continent.
The aim of these truth hearings was to provide a cycle that began with truth-telling or admission by the perpetrators of violence, which was then propelled by the urging of their victims to forgive with an open heart. And then this was followed by a reconciliation between the two parties, and then finally the recommendation by the Commission on the Administration of Justice. How successful this exercise has been is in itself a process of truth-telling, which has been a rare occurrence in contemporary descriptions and definitions of Africa. The world's consumption of Africa is often based on half-truths. It is mostly content without context.
As a historian and a writer, President Mahama stated his belief in Africa to sustain and expand its growth since the bright future has been hard won. He concluded with a saying from late Nigerian writer Professor Chinua Achebe that one of the truest tests of integrity is the blunt refusal to be compromised.
Colleen Adadivo reporting. Meanwhile, President John Dramani Mahama is attending the 5th Tokyo International Conference on African Development, TICAD. The June 1 to 3 conference will bring together a number of African leaders as Japan promotes dialogue and mobilize support for Africa's development initiatives. Launched in 1993, TICAD has evolved into a major global framework for the facilitation of initiatives promoting African development under the dual principle of African ownership and international partnership. President Mahama, who completed a three-day state visit to France, is being accompanied by his wife, Lordina, who will join other first ladies in a number of programs, including a symposium on HIV and AIDS and eliminating mother-to-child transmission. Finance Minister Seth Dekwe and Foreign Minister Hannah Tete are also expected to join the president in Yokohama.
A former rector of Gimpa, Professor Stephen Adey, says civil servants should not be penalized because of a change in government. He said the tendency where boards are dissolved and some civil servants are sacked is illegal. Professor Adey, who was speaking to Radio Ghana, says such cases should be challenged in court. He noted that it is completely false for people to think or suggest that appointees of one government will sabotage the system when one party is out of government.
The tendency for once the party wins there, we want to occupy all government positions, even public sector positions, public sector positions, all boards, nobody, but only people who they consider to be their loyal party members. That is the winner takes all. I'm totally wrong, because actually, that most of the things they do is illegal. I don't think that it is right for a senior public servant to lose his position because there is a new government. And I believe that people should challenge it in the court.
There is this school of thought that also believes that a new government comes in and the tendency to keep people who are perceived as having political leanings to the previous government could undermine the new government.
That is absolutely false. There's a pretext to do what is wrong. There are certain positions. Nobody expects, say, an NDC government to appoint an NPP ideologue as a minister or certain sensitive positions to be his chief of staff. That's not what we are talking about. But there's no reason why, when there's a public toilet in Obuasi and then somebody is managing it, and you come and say that now is the time for you to let my party member to come and be it, or a public servant, we have to define them. If you want to say that the chief directors are the principal at Bume, but this idea of going down and almost making everybody who has made risen through their profession the top immediately anathematized, say that an oftentimes it's not a question of whether you are NPP or NDC.
Former Rector of Gimpa, Professor Stephen Ade.
The Majority Leader in Parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbuo, has warned that in the next 10 years, monetization of politics will dominate the country's body politics, giving way to, in his words, crooks to rule. He said signs are clear that the wealthy in society are dominating politics in Ghana, and the interest of the ordinary Ghanaian is ignored because they hold no influence in terms of money. Dr. Kumbuo, who was commenting on the winner-takes-all phenomenon in Ghanaian politics, noted that the phenomenon is embedded in the society.
Yeah, why is our politics so fractious? Why is it that even after you've gone through democratic election, you have the entire country with a lot of fault lines always around politics? Why is it that the national interest has never become a center stage for bipartisan discussion? And we have to get people to begin to analyze what really leads to this thing and this negative phenomena of a winner takes all. In fact, what is interesting in this monolithic winner takes all is that it is not indeed true. Even within political parties, there are losers in that political part, those political parties. So it becomes clear that there is a particular internal social arrangement and political arrangement, and they become the takers. And I must say, if I put it on the lighter side, they are even becoming undertakers. I have spent my own time going into and doing a lot of analysis, doing projections for the next 10, 15 years, what is the politics of this country going to look like?
And can you share some of these with us briefly?
Yes, precisely. What will happen in this country eventually is that many, many people who want to think and not just talk will disengage from our democratic process.
Majority Leader in Parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbuo.
The chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwejo Afarijan, has told the Supreme Court that failure of presiding officers to follow the guidelines in completing the pink sheets amounts to any irregularity. An irregularity, he said, there are portions of the form that are supposed to be filled before polls are opened, while other portions are to be filled after polls have been closed, but before counting, and the last portions after counting. Dr. Afarijan was given his evidence in chief for the Electoral Commission in the presidential election petition, also stated that in order to promote transparency, agents of the candidates are accorded great importance. Dr. Afarijan also touched on registration of Ghanaians abroad, registration of voters without fingers, distribution of ballot papers, and transmission of results to the EC's strong room. We bring you Bubu Klinogo and George Asikwe's report.
Dr. Kwejo Afarijan debunked the notion that agents of political parties or their candidates are just mere observers or exalted observers. According to him, the agents play a significant role in ensuring a proper conduct of the elections. It is for that reason, he stated, that the commission spent huge sums of money in training the agents.
The importance that we accord to the agents, for sure we don't regard them as observers. Observers of whether they are local or international, or exalted or whatever, have no right to sign the pink sheet or to make a protest, a formal protest, in an election at the polling station. The fact that party agents have this right would seem to suggest to me that it is wrong to describe them in any form of observer status. So far as we are concerned, the agents form part of the team that is entrusted with responsibility for making sure that the elections are run properly at the polling station. In fact, our law recognizes that and states that party agents or candidate agents or whatever you want to call them risk perjury if they do not do their work in accordance with the law. This cannot be said of observers of any description.
Dr. Afarijan also indicated that it is possible for errors to occur during the collation of results at the constituency centers, hence the need for representatives of the parties to be vigilant.
Let me say that there are two errors that can easily be committed at the collation center, and we call them in election language transposition errors. And let me tell you that some of these things have occurred. A transposition error would be, remember, you have a number of candidates. Two forms of transposition errors. My scores have been entered against another candidate, and maybe that some other candidates' scores have been entered against me. That would be a transposition error, particularly if care is not taken in arranging the candidates. If the candidates are not arranged in the same way on the collation form as they are arranged on the polling station form, that is the pink sheet, it could easily give rise to a transposition error. But one form of transposition error is the exchange. A's results have been given to B, and B's results have been given to A. It's a transposition error. Another transposition error that can occur at the collation center is taking the score from the pink sheet onto the collation sheet. And that one also occurs. Maybe, let's say the number is 11,000 and then he puts 1,100. That would be another transposition error. So when we do the training, we tell people to watch out for the possibility of transposition errors.
When the presiding officer gets to the polling station, he might do certain things. He must set up the station. And in fact, the law requires that certain parts of the pink form are filled before the voting begins. And if the presiding officer doesn't do that, it is an irregularity. So he is expected to fill this portion of the form, set up the place, fill this portion of the form before the election begins. And he's supposed to do certain things. You know, now we have a transparent ballot box, but even so, the person is supposed to open the ballot box, show it to the people around to ascertain that it is empty and doesn't contain anything. Once again, if the person doesn't do that, since it's required by the regulations, it will be an irregularity.
The chairman of the Electoral Commission also gave evidence in relation to column C on the pink sheet. According to him, that portion was not supposed to be filled.
C3 says, what is the number of ballots issued to voters verified by the use of Form 1C, but not by the use of BVD, that's the biometric verification device? I explained earlier on that this was intended to cater for those people whom we had voted earlier, registered earlier, and to whom we had given voter ID cards, but whose data we had lost somewhere along the way. Yeah, the data was lost, missing data, and we had not been able to recover the data entirely. That these people, because they went through the process, they would have at one time the valid voter ID cards in their possession. But because we had lost the data, they would not be in the voters' register. And let me also say that when we discussed with the political parties and they said no, we did not take even the we did not take the Form 1C that would have answered that question. We did not even take them to the polling station. Okay. But since they said no, there was no need any longer for us to take those forms to the stations. And we didn't take them to the station.
So how were the presiding officers to fill in that C3 column?
No, we told them that they should put zero because they wouldn't have even the means to fill.
Now, was it communicated to them verbally, or you wrote to them with copies to all the parties?
Well, I don't know whether we wrote to them, but we did make it part of the training.
Well, in these proceedings, there's difference between zero and blank.
Yeah.
So, was your instruction to the polling officers to leave C3 blank or to put zero there?
Well, I didn't do the training, but I would prefer zero in that column. The reason why I don't like blank spaces in election forms is that somebody can go and put a number there.
After the day's proceedings, both the NPP and NDC appeared satisfied with the evidence given by Dr. Farijan so far. Dr. Farijan returns on Monday to continue his evidence in chief.
Bubu Klinogo and George Asikwe filed that report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. President Mahama attributes Africa's woes to lies and deceit of its leaders. Majority leader in parliament worried over creeping monetization of Ghana's politics. CDD pushed for measures to involve minority parties in decision-making. Short parade and wreath laying ceremony to climax the year's June 4 activities. And Nigeria's parliament banned same-sex marriage.
A research fellow at the Center for Democratic Development, Dr. Franklin Udru, says one of the major governance deficits facing the country is the winner-takes-all phenomenon. He said people must be appointed based on their competence and not of their political affiliation. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Dr. Ogro noted that the power vested in the executive allows little room for multi-party appointment. He said measures must be put in place to involve minority parties in decision-making.
If you want to appoint competent people, you don't have to look at the argument that this person is not from a political party or is not from my camp. I think that is the bane of our democratic development currently in Ghana. One of the main governance deficits that we are currently facing is the way we manage power, the way we distribute power, and the way we use it for enhancing the development of this country.
Would you appoint people who are opposed to you? I'm using you once again as a test case. Appoint people who are opposed to your views.
No. See, the point you're asking is that you are appointing competent people, people who you think can help you hear the affairs of this country,
but are opposed to your views, no matter how competent they are.
We should look at this question of winner takes all from a different perspective. It's not a question of appointing someone who is opposing your views or doesn't share your political philosophy. It's a question of appointing people who you can bring on board to help deliver the goods for this country.
Director of CDD, Dr. Franklin Udru.
The Anniversary Planning Committee of the June 4 Uprising has announced activities marking its 34th anniversary. A statement from the office of the former President J.J. Rawlings says the leader of the uprising, J.J. Rawlings, will address cadres drawn from all regions in his office on the 3rd of June. On Tuesday, June 4, there will be a route march from the Elwak Stadium through to Cantonment to the Revolution Square. This year's anniversary, under the theme Patriotism Key to Nation Building, will witness a short parade and wreath laying ceremony as well as a lighting of a petrol flame at 8:30 a.m.
Government has directed operators in the maritime industry to support measures to remove negative practices such as over and under invoicing, as well as the levying of unofficial fees at the country's ports. Director of Trade Facilitation at the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Kwame Ntimdonko, said such fraudulent activities directly impact revenue generation and impede economic growth. Mr. Donko was addressing the maritime training for journalists under the auspices of the Joint Consultative Committee on the Destination Inspection Scheme, the Ghana Shippers Authority, and the GJA. The headmistress of Ola Girls Senior High School, Ho Benedicta Fesi, has appealed to parents whose wards are in second-cycle institutions to assist in enforcing regulations against the use of mobile phones by students on campus. Speaking on the sidelines of the launch of the 60th anniversary of the school, Mrs. Afesi stressed that parents must ensure their children do not carry mobile phones to school, as this distracts them from their studies. Eugenia Asumedisichi has more.
The Ola Girls Senior High School, established in 1954, will turn 60 on the 1st of February next year, according to the school's headmistress, Benedicta Afezi. The 60th anniversary will be used to reflect on its achievements, challenges, and the way forward. She noted that funds will be raised for the construction of an accommodation for students as well as visitors on commercial basis. Additionally, a sports arena will be built to promote sporting activities. Touching on ways to sustain discipline in the institution, Mrs. Afezi entreated parents with wards in the schools not to allow their wards to carry mobile phones for use on campus. This diverts the focus of students from their studies. She said if the practice is not checked, it could lead to a fall in the school's academic performance.
Eugenia Asumedisechi reporting.
The news continues. In foreign news, Nigerian lawmakers have approved a bill banning same-sex marriage, setting jail terms of up to 14 years for offenders. The measure, backed by the House of Representatives, also makes it illegal to form gay groups or organizations. The bill, which was adopted by the Senate in 2011, is now expected to be sent to President Goodluck Jonathan to be signed into law. It is already illegal to have gay sex in Nigeria, and homosexuals say they often suffer abuse. The proposed bill also envisages prison sentences up to 10 years for anyone who participates in gay clubs or organizations.
Meanwhile, Nigeria's army and spy agency says it has discovered an armory belonging to the Lebanese group Hezbollah. The army spokesman, Brigadier General Ilyasu Isa Abba, said three Lebanese nationals have been arrested. The cache, including rifles, four anti-tank mines, anti-tank weapons, and an RPG, 17 AK-47, two submachine guns, and 76 grenades, were found in a warehouse in the city of Kano.
Syria's President Bashar al-Assad has warned Israel that it will respond in kind to any future airstrikes, adding that there is pressure on them to open a military front against Israel in the Golan Heights. He also suggested Syria may have received a first shipment of an advanced Russian air defense system. However, Israel has warned that it will regard the Russian missiles as a serious threat to its security. Mr. Assad's comments came amid a Syrian doctor description of the danger of living there.
Meanwhile, the UN Security Council has blacklisted Syria's al-Nusra Front as a friend of al-Qaeda in Iraq, a move that will subject the group to sanctions including an arms embargo, travel ban, and assets freeze. The U.S. mission to the UN said none of the 15 council members objected to adding an al-Nusra as friend of al-Qaeda in Iraq. Al-Nusra is one of the most effective forces fighting President Bashar al-Assad, who pledged allegiance to al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. The group claimed responsibility for deadly bombings in Damascus and Aleppo, and its fighters have joined other Syrian rebel brigades. To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama is attributing Africa's woes to lies and deceit of the leaders. He says salvation of the continent must come from truth, compassion and forgiveness, as well as refusal to be compromised. President Mahama was delivering a lecture at the French Institute of International Relations in Paris, France, to climax his three-day state visit to that country. The majority leader in Parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbo, has bemoaned the situation where the wealthy in society are dominating politics in Ghana at the expense of the ordinary Ghanaian. Dr. Kumbo, who was commenting on the winner-takes-all phenomenon, noted that the phenomenon has been entrenched in the society. The 34th anniversary of the June 4 activities have been released in Accra. A statement from the office of former President J.J. Rawlings, who is the leader of the uprising, says the activities include a parade and whistling ceremony, as well as the lighting of the perpetual flame. And offenders of same-sex marriage in Nigeria are to face a jail term up to 14 years if caught and prosecuted. These follows an approval of a bill by the country's parliament banning such an act. The measure, hacked by Nigeria's prison sentences up to 10 years for anyone who participates in gay clubs or organizations. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedusechi in Accra.